If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sports book you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or even try your luck at the live tables, all from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy. That's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using the promo code TOOLSHED and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code TOOLSHED for free cash bonus to kickstart your journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the fact that baseball season is in full swing, there's never been a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into episode 192 of the Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, powered by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm your host, Eric Cross, and my voice is finally back to normal for the first time in probably a month. Thank you for bearing with me when my voice was 20 grade, 30 grade, 40 grade. Feels good to sound like myself again. But now my co-host is coming down with a little case of the sniffles, but he's still, no matter how much sniffles he has, he's still my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. What's up, buddy?
Hopefully I don't sound too bad. A lot in the nose, not really in the throat. So hopefully it's pollen. It's like yellow outside. It's just raining pollen, basically.
It's yellow outside, he says.
Yeah. So if you don't have pollen, I don't know. Does everybody have pollen where they live? I don't know.
I think so. We have it up here. So
it's bad. Yeah. So that's been bad. The allergies are flaring up a bit, but we're here to talk baseball, not about sickness. We've had enough of that going around recently. So, man, I'm telling you, this year we've missed more episodes for random sicknesses than anything. And it's like random, and not even sickness, but random stuff. And it's like, just need to get back on our consistent schedule and have baseball. That's all I want.
I know, right? And yeah, it's been a very weird first 2.5 months of the year. But hey, we've still pumped out a lot of episodes, but
yeah,
you know, a few less than we were hoping to do. But we do have another fun one today. You know, if you listen to the last one, you know that we're in now part two of our three-part series discussing our guys for 2023. Did hitters last episode. I think we talked 16 hitters total. You know, we broke it up, you know, a catcher, a couple infielders, a couple, few outfielders, and I think it was 16 total. So go back and check that out. Episode 191. We are hitting pitchers today. We have 12 names on the list. A lot of fun names. Before we get into that, the usual housekeeping. You can find us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm at EricCross04. And our show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and review. Check out my Patreon for more work from me and Chris's Substack for more work from him. And before we get into the show, we want to say a quick word about our friends at Underdog Fantasy. If you sign up using the promo code Toolshed, you'll receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. And that can be used for any of their fun fantasy games, including MLB best balls, individual player pickups across all sports, and so much more. Sign up today using that code Toolshed at play.underdogfantasy.com/P-the-toolshed. All right, so pitchers today, a lot of fun names, and we are starting. Okay, we'll go back and forth talking about our guys here. We'll have random, you know, conversations in the middle. Now, we each have a player from the state of Florida to start out. Chris, are you
starting with Jeffrey Springs, who he's really just intrigued me this spring. And I think that we haven't talked enough about how good he was last year. He was kind of just a out-of-nowhere guy. I mean, he wasn't even a big prospect. He was a 30th-round pick in 2015. The dude pops up out of nowhere and post a 2.46 ERA over 135 innings, 144 Ks, 107 whip. And I guess the question is, like, is that really legit? Like, can he actually sustain this? And it certainly looks like it based on the small spring sample that we've seen. He's only started two games, pitched five innings, but he's had nine strikeouts, and he's literally not allowed a hit or a walk. So 5 1/3 perfect innings with 9 Ks so far this spring. So while it is a small sample, like, still pretty good one at that. So Springs is one that I'm kind of monitoring because he is throwing a sweeper now, which is pretty interesting. And he, you know, last year looking at his pitch arsenal, he was, you know, pretty heavy, four-seam changeup slider, and that really it. But, you know, this year the added sweeper, he's throwing the force him a little more. It's, you know, I'm hesitant to say too much because it's like, it's just a small sample, but it is really worth monitoring, I think. Regardless, I'm in on Springs, and I think he's just being a bit undervalued and not being discussed like he should. So I'm buying Jeffrey Springs this year in Dynasty, and, you know, the old guys break out sometimes and are really good. I know he's 30, but there's still plenty of value to be had with Springs. His arm doesn't have a ton of mileage on it. So that's my guy. It was kind of like, okay. And then I really dug in more and watching him in spring training, I'm like, oh, wow, he's legit. So that's who I'm in on for this year, the first guy.
So would you say he's going to spring up rankings this year?
Yeah, that's a really good way to do it.
Hope springs eternal. Okay, I'm done. Only a couple spring jokes in me. But yeah, his last outing was really, really enticing. I was looking at it, and he was throwing a slider. Slider's what really stuck out to me. As I was, you know, looking at, you know, seeing velocity increases and decreases. Slider was down, you know, 2.3 miles an hour his last outing. It was 85.4 average last year, average 83.1. And this start against your Braves. Who, yeah, we're sitting some guys, but they still had, I think it was Harris, Darnell, Grissom, still had a few starters in there. But while it was down 2.3 miles an hour, the spin rate was up 115 RPMs, and it had, was it 5 more inches of vertical break and 5 more of horizontal break as well. Oh, no, 3 more of horizontal, excuse me. 5 more vertical, 3 more horizontal, so a little bit slower, more spin, more break, so that's intriguing to see, you know, and they had a very good, it was obviously small sample size, but 50% whiff and 44% CSW on it. So very, very encouraging there. So I definitely like Springs. Yeah, a good amount as well. My guy is going to be from the other team in Florida, the Miami Marlins. That is Edward Cabrera, who I've, you know, tweeted about, written about. Now I'm going to talk about him a little bit more here on Tools. I love Edward Cabrera. It's funny. I was, you know, I've always liked him, but I think I was a little, probably a little lower on him than most when he was a prospect, but always is really impressed. And yeah, he's only had 21 starts over two seasons. He's been battling some injuries. That's a red flag. And, you know, the walk rate is still a bit high, 11.3% last year, although that's down from 15. I guess it's better than 15.9 in his first season in 2021, but that's still an area of concern. But at the same time, Edward Cabrera, like, the stuff is there. You know, a couple of my tweets from, you know, probably a month or two ago about Cabrera were, I think one was regarding whiff rates and the other one was regarding just batting average against on multiple offerings. And he was one of six pitchers last year with a sub 200 batting average against on three different offerings, and then one of just two to have him on four different offerings. Edward Cabrera, obviously, was one. And Chris, I want you to guess a little game here. Who was the other one? Sub 200 batting average against on four different offerings.
Who? Well, who throws a legit four pitches? I mean, it's probably Corbin Burns, if I had to guess, but it's probably not right.
Think older.
Verlander?
A little bit younger. A couple years younger. Nope.
Kershaw?
Now you're getting closer geographically.
I feel really dumb.
Pitches for the rival of the Dodgers. Well, one of them. The good rival right now.
You Darvish.
There you go. Darvish, who I think added three more pitches this year, probably. No.
Probably.
Yeah, Cabrera was owning, it was just him and Darvish, with one of, what was it, four pitches with a sub 200 batting average against. And he was one of just eight guys with a whiff rate of 30% or higher on three different offerings. Look at the arsenal. You know, he throws the curveball and the changeup about 53.5% combined. Those were his two most used offerings last year. And both had a, you know, batting average against right around 170, a slug, you know, 270, 280 range. And whiff rates above 30%. The slider was the other one above 30, and that was actually his best whiff rate offering, 42.5, 128 batting average against. You know, he had five legit pitches. The sinker is probably his worst pitch, but the other four, that's also his least used pitch as well. And he also can get ground balls too. Last 2 years, 42% ground ball rate in 2021, 47.1% this past year, 31.2% whiff, 32.1% chase, better than league average. Or in zone contact, he's throwing more first pitch strikes, although it's still a little bit below the average there. So the two things that need to keep improving with him, obviously, are just staying on the field. That's the biggest thing. And then continuing to throw more strikes and limit the free passes. But he's got top 20, top 25 SP upside here. The stuff is there. Gets ground balls, misses bats. And obviously, Miami is a great pitching development organization in general. So a lot of makings there for a big breakout year if he could stay healthy. And he was pretty good last year, too. 3.01 ERA in 14 starts. Does he stay healthy? But I think it's going to be a big year from Edward Cabrera. Now Chris is going a little bit up north to the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah, Cabrera's a good one that I was considering on this list. But yeah, we're going to the Twins. We're going with Joe Ryan, where I think there's another level with Joe Ryan that we just haven't quite seen. He went to Drive Line this offseason. I know it's just become a running joke at this point.
I went to Drive Line.
Right. It's like, he went to Drive Line. Yeah. You know,
Is that the new he went to Jared?
Yeah. He went to Drive Line. So with him going to Drive Line, they identified some new pitches that he had. So he added a split finger change, which is really interesting. Added a sweeper, which you go back and look last year, Savant reclassified pitches, by the way, and he reclassified that he threw like sweeper some, but not much. But basically, he's going sweeper heavy and he's going split finger heavy with the four seam. Joe Ryan threw 60% fastballs last year. Fastball averaged 92 miles an hour. Not great, but it works because of how Joe Ryan pumps it at the top of the zone. So Ryan's ditched his curveball so far this spring, which was actually a bad pitch. Like, it had a 286 average against. Not great. His slider had a 268 batting average against, which, you know, also isn't great. So now just going to the sweeper, basically three pitches that we've seen so far, the four seam sweeper and the split finger change, I think is pretty intriguing. And he's mixing them pretty well. Again, I'm hesitant, small sample, but he's used the fastball 45% of the time, which is way down. So looking at this, I'm a bit intrigued by a reworked arsenal from Joe Ryan, who already had a really, really good year. If he can build on that, then I think we're really on to something here with Ryan. Because, I mean, even last year, even he had struggled down the stretch. He still finished with a 3.55 ERA. He had 151 strikeouts and 147 innings, a 110 whip, like, you know, really, really good stuff last year. But is there another level? I think so. I think he can strike out. He struck out 25% last year. I wouldn't be surprised to see that tick up even more. And if it does, if he goes to like a 27-28%, then, man, I'm really interested. I think he can make a massive jump this year. And given that he made some tangible change, that's really the reason that I'm in on him. Because we've seen the results of these pitches, and it's been working. So I'm buying Joe Ryan, and I think he's kind of just one of those, he's just a guy. It's like, not really talked about a lot, but I think he can be more than just a guy. So that's why I took Joe Ryan here.
I love how, like, 2023 is becoming, like, the year of the sweeper. Everyone's talking about the sweeper. You know, everyone, it's funny because people used to think, oh, he has a sweeping slider, and now it's his own pitch. Yeah, I think the first one that really kind of put it on the map, I think, was from Zach Fuller. Maybe it's the first time I really heard about it, talked about it a lot. And now it's like, oh, everyone's, yeah, it's getting reclassified. Everyone's throwing the sweeper now. Not everyone, but most people. It's a year of the sweeper here in 2023. Yeah, Ryan, you know, I question if there is another level with Joe Ryan. But even if there's not, he's still a really good arm. Like, what he did last year, very much legit. Even if he's that. Like, even if he's last year, which was, you know, 3.35 ERA, 25% K rate, that's still a very good arm. So,
yeah
sure. and if he, you know, gets that next level that you think he could, he's probably, you know, like what, top 25, top 30 arm, something like that, like a, you know, back end SP2 or something along those lines. But Joe Ryan. All right. My next guy, kind of similar to my first guy, just got the great stuff, just needs to stay healthy. Going out to the West Coast for this one, Dustin May, who, you know, props to my former co-host, Jake Devereaux. He was always a big Dustin May guy, and I have definitely become one over the last few years. There's one thing I had said back then, which I still liked May, but was kind of critical because I didn't like the pitch mixes. Yeah, it was great for, you know, pitching gifts, you know, from Nick Pollock or from Pitching Ninja. It looks great in the tweet, but is it great for success on the mound and for success in our fantasy baseball world? No, not really. Just hitters, smart hitters know, like, hey, they know that sinker is going to run in on them or the cutter is going to go run away, as beautiful as it is. But he learned how to, you know, better maximize his arsenal, you know, sequence better, what throw in different counts. And you saw that in 2021. You know, last year, he only made six starts, and he only made five starts here before that. But, you know, look at what he did in early 2021. We had 38% K rate, 5.5% walk rate, 274 ERA. That's when that pitch mix change really happened. And he went less sinker heavy, and that's the one that has the incredible amount of horizontal movement on it. Threw more curveballs, you know, went more a little bit less cutter, so he used the cutter more sparingly, which definitely helped. So, like, the stuff is there. Even last year, through the, you know, inconsistencies and through the injuries when he only made six starts, curveball still had a 47.6% whiff rate. You know, brought the changeup back, which he had ditched in 2021. You know, only threw that 27 times, so we'll see on that. But it did have a 50% whiff rate for what it's worth. So, like, the stuff is definitely there with Dustin May. He's the only one that gets ground balls above 50% ground ball rate each of the last 3 years, including 51.9% last year. You know, overall, the whiff rate has been above 29% each of the last 2 years. Chase rate ticked up last year as well. You know, he throws strikes. Like, there's a lot to like here with Dustin May. Obviously with the Dodgers helps as well. And looking at, you know, this is probably one of the best. If you go on Savant, you know, they have the similar pitchers thing below the arsenal and then below the batted ball profile. And you look at his below the arsenal, which is similar based on velocity and movement. The five names are 2021 Zach Wheeler, 2020 Sixto Sanchez, back when he was actually, you know, good and was throwing hard, not 82 miles an hour like he is now. 22 Sandy Alcantara, 2022 Zach Wheeler, and 2021 Sandy Alcantara. So four of those names, well, were just two guys, but were Zach Wheeler and Sandy Alcantara. So it shows you, like, you know, that's not saying he's going to beat them, but the upside is there to him to be an, like, you know, back end fantasy ace or so. And I'm definitely believing in, even though it was a small sample size back in 2021, really everything with him has been a small sample size, but I believe in the stuff. And I think, again, if he can just stay healthy, it could be a big, big year for Dustin May. So one of my favorite dynasty buys on the pitching side of things now, along with this next name that Chris has. Love this guy.
Yeah, so it's Brian Bello with your Red Sox. And, you know, if you look at the overall performance last year once he debuted, it wasn't really great. I mean, he had a 4.71 ERA, but that doesn't really paint the whole picture. He had a 2.94 FIP, which was pretty encouraging. He only struck out 20% of batters, which really is not a good indication of who he is as a pitcher. And he walked 10%. But when we look at Bello's profile, I see so much more than 20% K rate and, you know, those kind of ERAs. He is injured right now, so that's important to note. Like, he's got a forearm issue. He's supposed to be throwing two innings during a minor league spring. He was supposed to throw today, actually, two innings. I have not seen the results of that, but now that I see that news point, I'm going to look that up because I am interesting. And basically with Bello, he really changed everything down the stretch of the season. He was a totally different pitcher. In September last year, he lowered that ERA to 2.59 across 31 and a third innings, and he had 31 strikeouts. So strikeout an inning, like I said, I think he's more than that, personally. He did walk 12 batters, but the improvements were significant. Abeo's great because he is ground ball plus swing and miss stuff. It's a pretty good combo of pitches here. He's got an incredible changeup. Insane. One of the better changeups in baseball, I'd argue.
Yep, agreed.
Pretty comparable to Luis Castillo, I'd say. Very, very good. He mixes in the sinker, too, which helps him get balls on the ground. That's ultimately going to limit his strikeout upside. But I could see it, the arsenal evolving a bit as he matures and him growing into more strikeouts. You know, the sinker only had an 18% whiff rate. The changeup, however, had a 44.2% whiff rate. That's just really nasty for a changeup. The best part is down the stretch last year, he began to utilize his slider more. So he upped the slider usage pretty significantly. And in September, when he had the really good, you know, month, he was mixing the sinker, slider, and changeup all pretty equally. And even the four-seamer was up to almost 20%. That month, the changeup had a 47.6% whiff rate. And the slider had a 27.9. I still think there's more with the slider. I think that's a really good pitch. He did this in September while the sinker got hit around for a 388 batting average, had an XBA of 266. So there's some notable things. And I get it. He's injured. So, and now's a great buying opportunity, I think. Because if people are going to discount him and write him off because of this, I'm going to scoop him up everywhere. I mean, we are talking about a 23-year-old pitcher last year who was making their debut. I just think he's got 3+ pitches. I really do. I think the command's improved, and I'm not that worried about the injury. Like, I'm really thinking that he could break out and be a really high-end fantasy pitcher. The stuff is certainly there. What we saw in the minor leagues is certainly there, and I believe that he's going to take off this year.
I couldn't agree more. As someone that's seen Bello live a few times in AA, yep, cosign on everything Chris just said. Changeup is, it makes you feel things. Like, that changeup is absolutely sexy. I saw him strike out, it was his last batter of one of his starts against the Binghamton Rumble Ponies. Struck out Ronnie Mauricio on 3 straight changeups, and Mauricio honestly wasn't even remotely close on any of the 3. And that's a pretty damn good prospect right there. So now it's just one example of, you know, many, many occasions that he made hitters look foolish with that changeup. So. Yep, definitely. Obviously, love Bello, and hopefully he can take that next step forward. I have him on a handful of teams, and obviously for my own MLB team, the Red Sox, hope he takes that next step this year. Love Bello. All right, my next guy here, I'm going to the New York Mets. probably the oldest name out of the six guys on my list. Yeah, pretty sure he is. He's not even that old, but 27-year-old David Peterson, 6'6", southpaw for the Mets, who, you know, with Jose Quintana out for a bit of time, it's going to be, you know, a battle between him and Tyler McGill. I feel like he has the leg up a little bit. He's been absolutely dominant this spring, and you know, Miguel's been pretty good as well. But you know, in his last outing yesterday, 4 innings, no hits, no runs, 1 walk, 5 Ks, 41% whiff, 32% CSW. So far in the spring, 8 no-hit innings, 4 walks, and 9 strikeouts. And one interesting thing, most of his velocities have been, you know, right in line, a little bit up, a little bit down, but that's normal. But his slider yesterday was up 2.7 miles an hour and up, what is it there, 130 RPMs over last year. Like last year, he averaged 84.4 on the slider, and his minimum velocity on that pitch yesterday was 85.6, averaged 87.1 in general. That's encouraging to see that. And that's not just a hot gun, because you know, the other ones, the other offerings are all in line there. So adding more velocity to that slider, love to see that, 87.1. And last year, you know, he had 19 starts, 9 games out of the pen. Overall, you know, 3.83 ERA, 133 whip. Again, a little high, that walk rate.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I want to see him trim in another, you know, percentage point or two. But he can miss bats. And a 27.8% strikeout rate last year. 30.2% whiff rate. Pretty solid contact rates as well. And the slider is the real bread and butter here. 47.9% whiff rate on that, 175 batting average against, 292 slug, 239 wOBA, only allowed 10 extra base hits all year off of the slider, which he throws about 29% of the time. So I love him. It, you know, if that slider's even better this year, it's still only 27. I felt like he was older than that. I thought he was like 29, to be honest with you, but still only 27. You know, can miss bats at a pretty damn good clip. And again, you'll see a common theme here for both of us, really, guys that can miss bats and get ground balls, because each of the last 2 years, he's been right around 50%, was 50 on the dot in 2021, 49.8% last year. Got good stuff. You know, he's on a good team. So obviously, you know, if you play in a league with wins, you know, he's probably get you a fair amount of wins. Who knows about quality starts, but I love the stuff, love the ground ball ability here. Love the bat missing ability. And if he's to get that chance to, which I was hoping he'd get the chance anyway, and then they brought in all these older guys, but he has, you know, Steve Cohen was spending like a drunken sailor. But if Peterson's to get that chance to start, and you know, who knows how long Quintana's out for, and then but by the time he's ready to come back, someone else for her, it's a very kind of risky rotation in terms of durability. So I think you see, you know, Peterson make 25, 26 starts, something like that. You know, maybe flirt with 150 innings and, you know, have a pretty solid ERA. Maybe the whip's a little higher, but I think he can be like a poor man's Robbie Ray. Like, you know, not Robbie Ray, but, you know, a step or two down, which would be a pretty damn good arm in general. So love David Peterson this year. I've been drafting him everywhere, even when he didn't have the spot before before Quintana's injury. Dynasty is a great buy low just because of the uncertainty around his situation. So everywhere, go get David Peterson. All right, Chris, we're halfway through the show. 6 down, 6 to go. Who's your next guy?
All right, so I am going to a really post-hype buy low guy in Trevor Rogers. Trevor Rogers has had an up and down last 2 years, but he's been good so far this spring. 3 starts, 9 innings, 2 ERA on the dot, a 0.56 whip, 11 Ks, and no walks. Absolutely love to see no walks so far. Rogers is such a strange case of like, what went wrong? Because, you know, in 2021, it was, or 2022 was just absolutely incredible for him. I'm mixing my years. It's 2021 as I'm just looking back and forth and reading. I don't know what, but 2021 was his breakout year, not 2022. 2022 was his awful year. But to go from a 2.64 ERA, where he absolutely dominated with 157 strikeouts in 133 innings, to last year blowing up to a 5.47 ERA in 107 innings and less strikeouts than innings pitched, his whip jumped to 1.50 from 1.15. That's pretty substantial, and I don't know. I'm just weary of Trevor Rogers, but again, it's hard to like completely write him off because I still feel like that pitcher we saw in 2021 is in there somewhere. Last year, I mean, we saw a couple things going on. The changeup wasn't nearly as good. The slider wasn't nearly as good either. It's hard to really identify fully what went wrong. The slider lost about 2 mph of velo. His changeup gained a little bit of velo. His fastball set similar, but the results were just totally different. The four-seam got hammered for a 312 batting average against. That's significant. You know, the year before that, when he was good, was 222. The changeup also got hit around 246 average against, up from 199. His changeup's really good. Like, there's a trend here with my changeup guys, apparently. But the whiff rates really ticked down on all those pitches, and it hurt him. But I do think that Rogers can get back to being who he was in 2021. So far, the changeup has looked really good. Velo's sitting about where it was. The fastball velo is down a tick. I'm not particularly worried about half a mile an hour at this point. Still early. If it was a mile or two, then maybe, but we're looking at half a tick of velo. He's also throwing the sinker a little bit more. He never really featured the sinker, but he is featuring that some. Maybe that to be a ground ball out pitch, which is encouraging. And the slider not being used as much, but I would like to see that pitch used a bit more. All that to say, I still think Rogers has a good pitcher in him somewhere. I do think he finds that this year, and I think he jumps back up. He's only 25. Like, we write people off so quick, but I see like a player that can easily bounce back and one that can be a really solid arm for you. So a great buy low opportunity in dynasty leagues. Just remember where we valued him and like before 2022 and where he is now, and think about where he could get back to.
Yeah, I love a good changeup, man. Like, you see, yeah, a lot of these guys on our list do have good changeups. I've come to appreciate, you know, when you're young, it's like, oh, the curveballs and sliders, the breaking balls, they're kind of the sexy pitch. But, man, you know, growing up watching Pedro, who had probably the best changeup of all time, in my opinion, definitely have a heightened, you know, appreciation for a really good changeup. So I love watching, you know, Luis Castillo's changeup, Ryan Bello's changeup. It's so many good changeups in baseball right now. And, you know, even some are, you know, the more so the power changeups now. That's becoming a thing. So definitely love Trevor Rogers as well. He's been looking really damn good this spring. My next one, going lefty on the opposite coast here, going to Reed Detmers. And I wasn't anticipating having an Angel on the list because I just don't trust the Angels in general. Like, for anything pitching, you know, hitting development, it's just not great out there. But the thing with Peterson, you know, if you kind of looked at his changeup here, not changeup, I'm still got changeup on the brain. His slider velocity's been up consistently on the slider. It started ticking up near the end of last year, the last couple months of last year. And now it's up even more, up to like 89, 90 miles an hour. And it kind of went from more of a sweeper early in the season. And now it's more of a, you know, it kind of moved into more of a gyro, you know, slider late in the season when it got up to about 87, 88. Now it's up to 89, 91. Fastball's 95, 97. Now, after averaging, what was it last year? 93, 2. So this is all very encouraging. And the slider was the most used secondary offering last year, 25.5%. And also threw a curveball, slow curveball in the, you know, low to mid 70s and a changeup in the mid 80s. And while there wasn't a huge whiff rate on any of those, they were all kind of in the, you know, between 22 and 30%. So if we see more velocity from Detmers, you know, more velocity on that slider as well, hopefully we can see the whiff rate jump on that. And all of his offerings were pretty solid last year. You know, the worst was, in terms of batting average against, was the changeup. Got 268, but still only a 312 wOBA on that. Fastball, slider, curveball, all below 240. So I think you could see another step forward with Detmers, you know, starting with that the velocity up on the four seam and slider. Another one that kind of needs to keep the walk rate in check, though he did improve that this past year. It's only at 8.4%. That's manageable for sure. So I'm really encouraged to see like what this increased velocity could look like over the course of a full season. So I think that was a great time to buy into Detmers, and maybe it doesn't work. You know, maybe he's just the same guy as he was last year. Maybe this doesn't have a big impact overall on him, but what if it does? So I think right now he's a pretty, you know, not a low price because he still had, you know, he's still only 23, had the top prospect pedigree, all that jazz. So not a cheap buy right now, but I still think a fairly reasonable price tag with one that has a good chance to be a great investment. So definitely looking forward to seeing what Reed Detmers does this season. Chris is also going with a Los Angeles Angel of Anaheim, of California, of whatever.
Yeah, I love Detmers as well. I'll go with Patrick Sandoval, though. I don't think people talk enough about the season that Patrick Sandoval had last year. I mean, he had a sub-3 ERA over 27 starts, 148 innings. He had a 151 strikeouts over those 148 innings. It's really, really good. His whiff was not really, really good. It was 1.34. Like, that's a bit of an issue for him. But the fact that he did that while putting so many runners on base speaks a lot about his pitchability, I think. So some people may say the opposite, that he was just lucky. He walked a lot of batters. Simple as that. So I have just been impressed watching Sandoval this spring and even in the World Baseball Classic. He's been really good in spring training, the spring training outings I saw. He just really, really good from what we've seen in the World Baseball Classic too. I won't call him a breakout, but I think that we're talking about a player that just isn't being talked about enough that should be and probably will be if he repeats the performance. I think everybody thinks it's a big fluke what Sandoval's doing. So you're like, ah, he's not a big deal. He's not going to repeat this. There's just no way possible that he does. And you know, he doesn't need to replicate a sub-3 ERA. Like, that's, you know, that's not even what we need from him. Like, if he's a mid-3s ERA with decent strikeout numbers, like, then he's going to really move up because that's just who he is. He's a really good arm that's just not being valued as such. So, I'm going with Sandoval. I think he really takes a step forward. Another young pitcher who just was good and just didn't really get the love. And I think that he's just really underrated at this point. So I'll say that he's really moves up and is more talked about next year.
Man, could the Angels actually do something this year? If Detmers takes that step forward, if Sandoval does, if Trout can stay healthy, okay, there's still a lot of ifs there, but
yeah.
So like, where's that? It's like, so you're telling me there's a chance?
Yep, that's it.
No, there won't be. They'll go like 82-80, miss the postseason. Man, is it anything more? You know, not to get us off topic here, but I want to see Ohtani and Trout in under the bright lights, and more than just Trout had one postseason series, and believe I was like, was it 2013, 14, 15? Somewhere in there, one three-game set where they got swept, and that's it. And Ohtani's never been in the postseason. Like, I want to see these guys in October. I want to see them in the ALCS, in the World Series. But two of the best players that have ever lived in our lifetime. Now, Ohtani might be the best baseball player ever with what he's doing. So it's just so disappointing that they just cannot build around these two. They've tried, but just failed time and time again. But yeah, definitely, you know, Sandoval is one that I've been so up and down on him because really he's been up and down. I kind of have gone with what Sandoval has been doing, but he definitely finished the year really impressive. So definitely a guy that I think definitely could, you know, take another step forward this year. We'll see on him and Detmers too. I think they'll be huge for the Angels if both these guys can do what Chris and I think they can do this year. My second to last guy here, who's technically a prospect, but will be in the opening day rotation, barring something completely unforeseen. And that's Grayson Rodriguez. So I think it's a good buying opportunity now. Obviously, again, price tag isn't going to be cheap, but kind of a little bit of the buzz is kind of left. A little bit of that, the helium was let out of the balloon last year because he missed, you know, roughly about half the season. But stuff is still there. Like, you know, and Painter's now hurt. So, you know, if you want to hit, you know, Chris's, you put that meme of the guy with his girlfriend or wife looking at the other girl in the red dress by everyone going back to Grayson Rodriguez. Yeah, now is, I think, a great time because I think the price is never going to be less than it is right now. I think this is a guy that has top 10 fantasy starter potential. The stuff is all there. The frame is there. I'm not really overly concerned about last year's injury issues. He looks like a guy that can just eat innings, 180 plus inning guy. And Eno Saris posted the spring training stuff plus leaders. This was, you know, a few days ago, but G-Rod was ninth on that list, right ahead of Sandy Alcantara, right behind Verlander, Lazardo, Gausman, and a guy Chris wrote up in a recent spring training news and notes on his Substack, which is great. Go check that out. Shintaro Fujinami was up on that as well. And Cole, Strider, you know, the usual names are on that list. And G-Rod was ninth. And, you know, after someone that saw him live and he was the best arm I've ever seen in the minor leagues, you know, he has the big fastball. It's easily a plus fastball. I even kind of teeter on putting it double plus. I probably will. If I had to pick between 60 and 70, I'd go 70 grade on that. Slider is also double plus. He's got two double plus offerings in the fastball, to be in the changeup as well, and pretty good breaking balls as well. This guy could have four plus or better pitches, or maybe, you know, maybe the curveball is above average, but still four really good pitches that he can miss bats with all four of them. He locates well, especially with the fastball and the changeup. I've seen them drop that thing in for strikes, you know, dip it outside the zone to get the swing and miss. Everything's there, you know, at least above average command and control. The performance has always been there in the minor leagues. Never had a bad stint anywhere as a professional baseball player. And I think, you know, this is going to be the beginning of a future long-lasting fantasy ace. So go get him now before the price tag inevitably rises a lot this year. All right. One more each year. Chris, who you close out the show with?
All right. And a name that's getting more buzz, but it's Kyle Bradish. I talked about him at First Pitch Arizona. I didn't think people were giving him the love he deserved based on his second half. He was really good down the stretch and really a tale of two halves last year. Where in the first half, he posted a 7.38 ERA. Really bad. Second half, over 71 innings, he posted a 3.28 ERA. I really do think Kyle Bradish is a guy. Like, I think that he is going to make a lot of noise this year. What changed with him, he stopped using the four seam as much. He started mixing in the sinker. He used his slider more. He used his curveball more. Like, those things, you know, really pop. And I hate using the similar pitcher thing, but this is just wild to see similar pitchers. Corbin Burns, Zach Gallen, like, next to Kyle Bradish. Like, to me, that's strange, but I mean, it's obviously there for a reason. So I think that's pretty significant. Also, the changes that he made with the pitch mix, the results that he got, like, those were really, really good. And he's been off to a great start this spring, too. So that is important to note that he is kind of seeing those things carry over. And that matters. Like, spring training matters, too, with some things. But with what we're seeing, like, when I've watched him pitch, it's like, okay, like, this guy's, I think, actually legit. And I think he's ready to take a step forward. The velo's fluctuated. It's been up. We're like, oh, yeah, like, all right, this is it. But then the next start, it was back to normal. It wasn't down, but it was closer to normal. But he is up half a mile an hour. His four seams averaging 90 miles an hour. His sinker's averaging 94.1. So that's kind of where he's sitting there. The slider's up to 88, which was 86.9 last year. So the slider's up a tick. He is mixing in the curveball more. I mentioned that was 83 miles an hour last year. It's 84.4 this year. And the changeup is averaging 90 miles an hour. And last year it averaged right there as well. So you like a little more velo separation, but it is what it is. Like changeup's not a heavily used pitch for him, so it's okay. But he's getting results too. Like not only is he getting more velocity, but he's getting more spin and movement, which is significant. Like more spins, whatever. But when you're using more spin efficiently and turning into more movement is really when it begins to matter. And that's what he's doing. So Kyle Bradish, the Orioles, he's one that I will end the show with because I really like him. I'm drafting him on every team. He's going so late. And he's a great dynasty pickup as well. Like he's super cheap in dynasty. If he's rostered, you can probably trade for him cheap. And if not, pick him up immediately. Like he's going to provide really good use for you this year.
Yeah, I almost went with, it's funny, when we were finishing up putting our last couple of names on the list here, I was going to put Wisniewski on, and I saw Chris already have, and I had a feeling he was going to. So definitely like Kyle Bradish as well. Baltimore, a great org, so I think everything's on the rise down there in Baltimore. I'm going to end with a cubby here with Hayden Wisniewski, former Yankees prospect, went over there via trade last year. And, you know, really, the slider, I could watch Hayden Wisniewski throw sliders all day. And saw the slider in the minor leagues. It was already filthy then. Last year, at a 119 batting average against on it, 310 slug, 245 wOBA. It was only 33.8%, but I think you're going to see that tick up. But the slider is really filthy. Throws it in the low 80s with a ton of horizontal movement on that. It's definitely, you know, hard pitch to square up for lefties. And he throws it to both sides of the plate as well. Obviously more so to righties, I'm going to say, than lefties. But he's one that he throws both sides of the plate with the slider. And he's got a cutter he mixes in as well. A changeup, which is kind of seldom used. Sinker and four-seamer as well. Really, sinker, four-seamer, and slider make up about 80% or so of his offerings. And the four-seamer was pretty good as well. Only averages 93.1 on it, but a 120 batting average against and a 200 slug on that pitch. It's a really hard, you know, the velocity isn't great. It's a really hard pitch for to square up. He's got a good approach with it, commands it well. And last year you saw pretty good results. It was four starts, two relief outings, but 2.18 ERA in 33 total innings, 0.94 whip, and 25% K rate, only a 5.3% walk rate. You know, consistently missed bats at a pretty high clip in the minor leagues, you know, largely due to that slider. So I think you're going to see a nice breakout year from him. There was kind of some questions, you know, in the offseason, and then especially in early parts of spring training a few weeks ago, if he'd be in the rotation. But I definitely think he's going to be there. Hendricks is not ready, and who knows when he'll be ready. And at that point, I think once you see Hendricks ready to come back, I think Wisniewski, you know, should be at that point where he's established himself and shown that, hey, I belong in this rotation. They'll probably take out, I don't know, maybe Drew Smyly, move him to a long relief role or whatever it may be. Or maybe someone else is hurt by then, you know, Taillon or whoever. Or maybe we just don't see Hendricks for a while this year. It's hard to say coming back from the shoulder capsule tear that Hendricks had last July. So who knows? Wisniewski, very, very good arm. Now, I don't think he's going to be a stud, but see a guy that can get up into, you know, maybe like the top 35 to 40 starting pitcher range? Absolutely. If he does what I think he can do, you know, maybe do like a 3.2, 3.3 ERA, something in those lines, you know, pretty solid whip and 27, 28% K rate. I think he's going to sneak up with some people. And, you know, Cubbies aren't going to be great this year, but they're definitely on the rise. And I think you'll see Wisniewski be a big part of that. So I will close out the show with Hayden Wisniewski. Gives you an even dozen names here from Chris and I of our guys on the pitching side of things that we think are going to rise up rankings this year. A lot of fun names here. So we'll see how it all plays out. We'll probably revisit this in the offseason or something, see how we did. But that'll wrap up the show. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. Again, this episode, we hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you follow everything we do on Twitter and over on my Patreon and Chris's Substack as well, along with the other sites we write for. Fantasy Pros for Chris, FTN, and more for me. We definitely appreciate all the support. Drop a 5-star rating in review. If you don't mind, those mean the world to us. And we'll be back again early next week on Monday with our prospects part of this, part 3 of 3. So stay tuned for that. But until then, everyone take care.
Tax day is coming.
Oh, no.
But if you sign up for Robinhood Gold's IRA with a 3% match, you can get up to $195 for the 2023 tax year.
Oh, yeah.
Sign up at Robinhood.com/boost by tax day to get the biggest contribution match on the market. Subscription fees apply. You know you got the
most. Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.